24. All the way, my Savior led.
Some way to have fellowship with Him and have fellowship with each other. We need both in these times in which we live. And I thank Him for His mercy that He has so freely bestowed upon us. I think about what Jeremiah said in the Lamentations. The Lord's mercies are new every day. And it's because of His mercies that we're not consumed. We want to pray for those that are sick, some of our number who are away, having bodily afflictions, trials of life like we all do. We're just in need of His grace. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Our Father, we thank You tonight for Your goodness that You have so freely bestowed upon a people such as we are. We ask, Lord, that You would quicken our hearts and our minds, that we might be able to receive spiritual things, that You might give us that understanding that is not natural to us, that You might enable us to see by the eyes of the faith that You give these things that You set before us in Your Word. We know that we are in ourselves nothing but sin, and we plead the precious blood of Christ as all our righteousness and acceptance before Thee. We thank You for Your blessings upon us daily. We bring these that are sick before you, and we pray that you would help them according to your wise and perfect will. Lord, we know that we know nothing as we ought. We know that your ways are not our ways. And we pray that while we traverse this earth and that life that you have ordained that we have below, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would protect us, that you would provide for us, and that you would enable us to be faithful witnesses of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, tonight that we might in our lives, by your strength, glorify him, exalt him, trust him, and honor him in all that we might say or do. We pray that you would call out your sheep in this hour. We remember that the apostle gives us those words that we read in every age and time, as long as this world stands, that there is even at this time a remnant according to the election of grace. Because, Lord, you shed your blood for them and redeemed them, we know that you will, by your gospel, call them out. And not only by your gospel call them out, by your gospel comfort them and build them up and strengthen them before you are pleased to return and to take them into your presence. We thank you tonight for all things that we receive by your gracious hand. And we pray in Christ's worthy name. Amen.
Number 63. Come thou, Almighty King. Thank you.
will suppose any of you, like me, just a little bit weary feeling tonight. Maybe the Lord will be pleased to revive us and refresh us. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. This chapter is so full of blessed truth that each time that we read it and come to it, it seems like it has a special comfort to us, a special strengthening to us in every hour. I want to begin reading in verse 9 of Ephesians 1. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Men and women naturally do not like predestination. They don't like the God who predestinates. But of all that we read in this word, from cover to cover, and all that goes on in the earth, God has predestinated. I thought about it hearing every day people saying things like this: we need to pray that God will intervene. They say things like this: unless God intervenes, this nation is doomed. Or our only hope is if God intervenes. They wanted God to intervene in the election. I'm sure there were those who wanted him to intervene in the inauguration today. They want him to intervene in the affairs and the events of this hour. But I say to you tonight, the God that intervenes is a false God. He's a false God. They're praying and asking a false God. And they're doing this out not only of ignorance of the Scripture, but they're doing this out of not wanting to confess God as He is. The God of the Bible does not intervene, and He does not perform the selfish things that fallen sinners would always have Him or desire for Him to do. Now, there's a reason why He doesn't intervene. And that reason is because He's already active. He's already active. And He's never, and He will never, ever stop actively working the things of this world according to His own will. Look down at verse 11 here. And hear the God of the Bible. And hear about the God of the Bible. He says, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That word that is translated in our Bible as worketh in that verse is the word energeo. And it is the word, I'm sure, we get our word energy or energetic from. Because it means this, it means to be active. And it means to be efficient. It means to do. It means to be mighty in. It means to show forth yourself or to effectually do. It says here that the God of the Bible is working or actively working all things after the counsel of His own will. And when you stop and think about that, and it's not only stated in this verse, it's stated other places, it's stated other ways, and it is shown or demonstrated from cover to cover in this book and also in all the world. And if He does so, there's never been a king that ruled. There's never been a president that presided over a country. There's never been a dictator or a despot or even a devil that wasn't God. Even the devil is God's devil. Or that wasn't placed in their place of authority, wasn't given the power that they are given, except they were put there and sustained in that place and with that authority and power, just as long as God willed it to be so and used them. He puts them there according to His will. He puts them there and empowers them and gives them authority by His own will, sovereign will, and He sustains them in that place. They cannot be defeated. They cannot be voted out. They cannot be anything as long as God Himself wills them to be there. So, and all that time, He's using them. God's using them. Turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 13, and listen to what he says in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That does not mean you have to like them. That doesn't mean you have to approve of what they do. But you have to acknowledge, to the glory of God, to the will of God, that they are there because God put them there. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power. You talk about this one having power, that one having power, this one having more power. There is none. There is no power or authority but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. That's about as plain and easily understood as anything could be, although it goes against the grain of our flesh. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that God ordained power, authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. To the evil, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. That is what God's people are to do under any power, be subject to that power, and they themselves are to do good. They're to do what God commands. They're to do right. And thou shalt have the praise of the saints. For he is the minister or the servant of God to thee for good. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. I don't know how so-and-so could be good for us. I don't know how in the world they could ever do anything based on what they've always done, based on who they are, based on what they believe. That doesn't count. What counts is what God says and has ordained. He's the minister to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. He doesn't have that authority, that power, just so he can not use it. He has it of God. He doesn't bear it in vain. He is the minister or servant of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now I hear all kinds of people everywhere reading those verses and trying to make them say something that they don't say, trying to get out from under that sovereign authority that God has established. They try to wiggle and waggle and use everything they can to get out from under it, but it still says what it says. It says it to me. It says it to you. It says it to all of the Lord's people. You see, it goes against our flesh, but so does everything else mostly that God does. And God, if you stop and think about this, God has been doing this since the world began. He didn't start in 2021. He's been doing this since the world began. He established the first person that he gave power to. He blew it, but he established the next person and the next person and the next person. You see, God has been doing this since the world began, and no people has ever or have ever had a good leader because they deserved it. Not this country, not England, not anywhere on this earth. If they've had a, quote, good leader, it was never because they deserved it. They've never enjoyed one blessing in this life because of their obedience, because of their conforming to the wishes of God. They've only had it by His grace. Turn back over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, this is in Hannah's prayer. Because when she comes to the temple to pray, she comes and she acknowledges God for who He is. And she tells them to talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Now look at verse 6. This is God. The Lord, Jehovah, killeth and maketh alive. Over the course of time, leaders such as Herod and others, at that appointed time, in the midst of their boasting and bragging and being bragged on and such as that, he killed them. And then there have been other leaders, maybe even worse than them, that try as they would, the assassin's bullet would never find them. They couldn't be killed. They couldn't be stopped. The hands couldn't be tied because God Almighty was in power. But when he was ready for them to go, like he was King Ahab, who went out in the battle, but he stayed behind. He stayed in a safe place. He stayed in a place where he surely wouldn't be hurt. But when God guided the arrow of that man, who it says drew a bow at a venture, he just raised his bow and arrow and shot it at random, we might say. God guided that arrow, and it hit Ahab in the joint of the armor, and he killed him. He kills and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. We've got all these people who in this world have billions. I can't even, it's not a concept that fits in my mind. A billionaire. Here's a man who's got $1 billion or billions of dollars. He's given that wealth according to his own sovereign will. And there are those out there scraping for everything they get. They're poor. Why? Well, they're not as smart as the other. Or just give any kind of fleshly reason you want to. This one's so smart. And the Lord, it says, makes poor and he makes rich. And here it is. He bringeth low and he lifts up. You know, we don't realize sometimes how much we fight and resist the will of God. We think we're wiser than God. We think we know everything. We don't know anything. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. He does this because he can. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon it, upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Boy, we need to learn that. It won't matter how many we mass up in a group. It won't matter what kind of weapons we have. Won't matter what kind of tactics we have in anything, in any situation. It was proven in Israel time and time again. That by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Here are all these people on the earth. And I thought about it today. Oh, if you look the world over, to my sight, to my exposure to the news and all, you won't find a good leader anywhere. You know why? Because they're just like us. They're sinners. They're full of greed. They're tricksters, supplanters. They're Jacobs. They're Jacobs. We're Jacobs. And when God raises up, now listen to me now. And every time God raises up a vile, wretched, wicked, unworthy man to power, every time he does it, I believe he's just done it. Every time he raises him to power and exalts him and increases him, it's a picture of his grace and his mercy to each one of his elect spiritually. You say, well, He doesn't deserve to be president. You're exactly right. But neither do you deserve God's grace. Instead of looking down on a man that's just like yourself, and I'm fighting this battle too. Instead of looking at some group of people that you think are the most base, and you just can't see how in the world they can be in authority and power, I can tell you how. It's God's will. It's God busy, God working everything after His counsel, the counsel of His own will. But rather than look at that, look at this. It's even more amazing. How could sinners such as we are, wretched, God-hating sinners, have been raised up from the dunghill that we were in Adam, exalted, made princes, kings and princes unto God? How in the world can that happen? His sovereign will. His sovereign will. His free grace. We can look at all the people in this world, all the political parties we don't like, all the presidents we don't like, all the congressmen we don't like, and we can wear ourselves out. But I'm telling you, if God had brought us the same path, if He'd opened the same doors for us, we'd probably have been more wicked than them. Oh no, can't be. Oh yes. They're made out of the same stuff, as we used to say. Made out of the same stuff that we are. And the fact that they're exalted up and have plenty and have riches and have power and have authority and glory and all, that's just a picture. God gave them the hog trough. But He gave His people the riches of glory. He gave His people His love and His mercy and His Son. He took us from this dunghill. He raised us. He exalted us, vile sinners that we are, for the same reason. Because He would. Because He could, and because He did. That's just the grace and power and mercy of God. So God is not intervening, and He will not intervene in His own doings, because He has done everything according to His own will, and this is the work of God, and we're saved by the work of God in Christ. But He's doing both. He's not intervening. This is what He's doing. That's what it says here. He works. He effectually brings it to pass. He does it all, and He does it all after the counsel of His own will. And to show the real depravity of sinners. They don't want God to interfere or intervene in the matter of their free will, supposedly, in the matter of salvation. They're not praying that He'll intervene, but they are in everything else. God intervene. If God doesn't intervene, we're doomed. If God doesn't intervene, well, this will happen, that will happen. I'm telling you what, God doesn't intervene. He brings it to pass. He makes it happen. Somebody said, well, why pray then? What's the use of prayer? Well, turn over to Matthew's gospel just a minute. I want to remind you of something that you probably heard all your life. How are we to pray in this thing? We have different political persuasions or different thoughts and ideas and different ideals and such as that. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Our Savior, our King, our Lord, our Redeemer. This is what he says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven. That is such an amazing thing, that such as we are could lift our voice, lift our eyes to heaven, and call the God of heaven our Father. He said to those religious enemies, just like he'd say to those immoral enemies, you're of your father the devil. But he says to his children, after this manner pray therefore, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, revered, holy, higher than the heavens. Thy kingdom come. Do you know what's happening right now? I don't care how the natural eye beholds it. I don't care what the opinions of men are. What's going on right now is the kingdom of God. It's being advanced until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's the part I want you to see. This is what we're to pray. You're not looking down on this earth and seeing all that's going on. You don't have the mind of God. I don't have the mind of God to know what is good or what is bad, what is right or what is wrong, how to accomplish this or that or the other. So we pray. Thy will be done in earth. When there's an election, when there's a man in power, or when there's a thing we're fearful of, thing we don't understand, a thing that looks like this world is out of control, I assure you, things are not out of control. They're in God's control. Thy will. You see, that takes away all that intervention business. Thy will. In prayer, we're not trying to get God to change his mind. That'd be foolish. We're not trying to get God to change his will or his purpose. In prayer, God is bringing us into conformity to that will. Thy will be done. Done. In earth. As it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Somebody said we probably won't even be able to get a loaf of bread in 6 months or a roll of toilet paper. The present doesn't provide our food. The Congress doesn't provide our food. I don't care what kind of second cause there. God Himself, He fed the prophet with the bread by the ravens and caused him to drink from the brook. Just like us, when he got to depending too much on the raven and the brook, that the Bible says that the brook dried up. Who did that? God. So he wouldn't trust the brook, but trust the God of the brook. And forgive us our debts. Oh, I think one of the things that we like to find dissatisfaction with all around us, especially politicians, is because it kind of takes a little of the heat off us. What are we? And as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The power, the authority, the right to do with your own what you will. Thou art the power, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. So be it. Let it be true forever. You see, the psalmist said, our God is in the heavens, and He hath done. He hadn't just willed it. He hadn't just wanted it to. He didn't have just this goal in mind. If everything worked out right, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And the thing that ought to thrill us most about that is that it, what was said of Israel is said of the true spiritual Israel. It hath pleased Him to make us His people. God doesn't save by nations or through governments or through leaders. He saves a people to Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back one more time at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. That familiar verse, verse 28. He says, and we know, that's God's people, that's believers, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Predestination has to do with a people that He has conformed to Christ, and it has to do with all the things necessary in this world to bring them to that point. Now, when I came to look at this verse, it seemed like there was one word stood out to me. I knew it spoke of him working, him actively involved. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what God is doing, he's doing for these that he has brought to love himself, the called according to his purpose. And he's working. He's working all these things together. For what? That word just stood out to me. G-O-O-D. If God does it, it has to be good. But I wonder, are we looking for that good? We're just all looking around to see what's going on. We're just hitting our belly buttons, sad. It's good. He's working it together for good, for his people. He's working it for their spiritual good. He's working it for their eternal good. He's working all things together for good. What are you looking for? Can't see anything but bad. God help us to look for the good that he's doing, not at the bad men do. He's the woman. I'm not scolding you. I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Well, what is he doing? Look back at our text. Look back at that 10th verse in Ephesians 1. This is all his doing. It's all his will, it's all his good pleasure, it's all his purpose, it's all his power, all his predestination. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Well, if he's doing that, he's doing two things. And we've said a lot. He's gathering his people to Christ. He's gathering them in Christ. He's gathering them to himself. He's saving them, blessing them. And as he does it, he's glorifying the Godhead. He's glorifying his own self. He doesn't intervene. He's the one doing it. And if that were fresh in our mind, he'd give us faith to believe that. We'd breathe a lot easier. We'd be more hopeful. We wouldn't be so critical. I'll be honest with you. I can't see how any such as were elected, for the most part, can do anything that would work to my good. But he does. They're like things on a chessboard. Men hate to hear that. His hand, the hand of the Almighty God, is like each one of them, each man, each woman, is like a chess piece. He's made even the wrath of man to praise him. He's just moving around. It's like an embroidered tablecloth. You ever see the backside of one of those things? It's a mess. Threads and loose ends, and that's the way we see it. God sees the big picture. He doesn't intervene. That's a false God. Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He did that in November. He did it today. He's going to do it tomorrow and the next day and right on, worlds without end. And if that doesn't give you hope and peace, you might not know our God. You might not believe what he says. I hope you do. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you as unworthy sinners who stand in need of grace and faith and strength in this world in which we live, being in the state naturally that we are. We pray that you'd help us to see and to understand and to believe what you tell us in your word. Help us to read the Bible, not the paper. Help us to look to you, not the TV. Help us to see the good that you're working. The spiritual good. The bringing to pass of your will, whereby you cause your gospel to be spread and your people to be called. You alone are worthy of all the honor and glory. Like was said forever,